Hey there, Margie Bryce here, bringing you the Crabby Pastor podcast. And I don't think you're going to be too surprised to know that it's too easy today to become the Crabby Pastor. Our time together will give you food for thought to help you be the ministry leader fully surrendered to God's purposes and living into whatever it takes to get you there and keep you there. So we're talking about sustainability in ministry. I'm here with Valerie White, and we're telling her story and what she dealt with as a minister. And I always like to say ministry leaders, and that is whether you're ordained or you're not ordained yet, or you're working independent in an entrepreneurial endeavor. Whoever you are, if God has given you spiritual responsibility over other people, you are a ministry leader. So we're talking about everything that Valerie had been through. She had lost her mother, and we'll just suffice it to say things got weird at church. She did have her in-laws move in. That's an additional challenge, even though they probably are the world's most wonderful people on the planet. It still is two families under one roof. And then just some disappointments in how church hierarchy didn't, you know, everybody should have a friend or somebody that they can go to and tell their sad story, and your friend, you know, gets a popsicle out or something and just sits with you for a minute and just listens. And sometimes we get so busy about the business of the church that we forget to do that piece. So that takes us kind of up to the time for Valerie where she and her husband are. You got on staff at Lakeside. You were called to Lakeside Nazarene in Washington State. So I'll let you take the story then from here, Valerie.
Yeah, so we really, after being really hurt, we just kind of took a break and laid low. I worked three jobs at one point. My husband kept working at a paper company, and we just didn't know what God had for us. And unfortunately, during that time, my district license lapsed, because we weren't, there wasn't a church that was able to give me my district license again. So,
What year are we in here?
2019.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it was the end of 2019 and then early 2020, right as COVID and everything started happening too.
Yeah.
So we felt God. I had done quite a bit of healing, and I knew that I worked with a counselor there. It wasn't the best connection because she didn't really understand the ins and outs of pastoral ministry. Let's be honest.
It's its own thing.
Yeah. She wasn't support. It's not that she wasn't supportive, but she did not get it.
Okay.
And so I felt like I was too much for her. And so I just kind of like, you know, that's not working. And so my husband and I started really just praying about what God would have us do. My husband really wanted to be back into ministry, and he kind of pushed me, I'm being totally honest, which is okay. I kind of needed it at that point. And we put out our resume. Well, we love the Northwest District, which is where we're at now. And they actually went through a district superintendent change and had a new DS. And so we had interviewed at a church in Illinois that was about an hour away from where we lived. And we just prayed that God would make it clear, because both of the interviews for that church and this and our church now came up at about the same time. And so we interviewed at both churches within like a week, 2 weeks of each other. We're like, God, we just really need you to make it clear. And so we had the other interview first. And from the minute we got there, we knew this is not where God wants us. We got there, nobody was there to meet us. The doors were open. We went in, nobody was there. It was just very weird.
We're like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And we're like, it's not a bad church. I mean, they're lovely people, and they now have a new pastor that they love, and they're just wonderful. I mean, God works, but God made it clear that that's not where we were called to be. And so we went out and flew to Spokane, Washington, and interviewed at Lakeside Church of the Nazarene. And this was in September. No, this was June, I think, maybe a little earlier, of 2020, right when all of the COVID stuff was going crazy. And so it was a wonderful interview. We were very straightforward, very blunt about my past struggle, really. And, you know, that we were interested in, we've come from a broken and hurting place. We are interested in a church that will help support us in that, help us heal. And then we can, and then pour into them and help them grow and heal. And, you know, and so it was really wonderful. It was good. And they asked some really hard, hard, tough questions. But at the same time, it was very clear to us that God was calling us here.
Nice.
It was very difficult to leave my in-laws. And the first time in our marriage that we had lived close to our family, my in-laws. And so that piece of it was really hard, I have to admit. And to this day, I still grieve that. I mean, I honestly do. Because our closest family lives in Colorado.
Mm.
So it's at least a plane's drive away, plane's ride away. And so, but we knew this is where God wanted us, and we had to be faithful to that. And so in September 27th of 2020, we moved to Lakeside, or to Loon Lake, Washington, to be pastors at Lakeside Church of the Nazarene. And from the get-go, it was just, they were so happy that we were here, and we were so happy to be here. I had put up a lot of barriers and boundaries to protect my heart. But they just had a way of going around those. And especially two of our, well, they're now both board members, but Alyssa and Angela, they were just accepting of me as a person, not just as a pastor, but as a person. And they had gone without a lived in the area pastor for many years. Like, their previous pastors all lived, like, they lived in Spokane and would drive up here, which is 30 minutes. But still, when you don't live in a community, when you don't really understand it, it can be hard to connect. And then we also have a former pastor who retired. He helped start the church at Pine Low Campground. And him and his wife are a big part of the church still. And his wife, Mary Lois, is on the church board, which some people, you know, that probably doesn't work in every church in every place. But no. I remember Ken coming to us when we first got here, and he said, you know, I want you to know, if you ever feel like I'm stepping on your toes as pastors, just let me know. I never want to do that. I want to support you guys 100%. We love you and we want you here. So let me know if there's ever a problem. And then a little bit later, he checked in. It was probably a couple months. He's like, are you sure this is going to be okay?
So has it been okay?
Yes, it has. It's really just been wonderful.
Okay. Well, that's great. That's great.
It has not been an issue at all. We are both bivocational. My husband works part-time as a paraeducator outside of the church, and I work full-time at a health clinic in patient services. And so he kind of fills in those gaps for us, like making sure people get a phone call or something like that if they're not doing well. My husband does really well with that as well. And, you know, I do as well, but Ken can kind of fill in those gaps for us. And we trust him not only to really just love people for us, but also to not badmouth us to anybody. You know, him and his wife have just been so wonderful. And so it was really weird for me in 2021. We'd been here for almost, or a little over a year at that point. And I could not figure out what was wrong with me and why I did not feel happy. I like, God, like, this church is wonderful. They're lovely people. They love my family. They're treating my boys so wonderfully. Like, what is wrong with me? I felt like there was something inherently wrong with me, and why I couldn't be happy. And I did, you know, and I think the word happy gets a lot of a bad rap in Christian circles. You know, people are like, well, you shouldn't have to feel happy. You should just like have this stolid joy underneath that doesn't actually show or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, you know, that happiness is tied to the happenings around you, and we're not to be attached that way exactly. We are to have this wellspring of joy because God loves us
in every circumstance.
But you compare that with what all you had been through, you know, losing your mom very unexpectedly, having to navigate that, having stuff go kind of weird at church, and not having the kind of emotional support that would have been tremendously helpful, and then dealing with disappointment at the ordination table. And I've heard lots of those kind of stories. I mean, it's something you need to still work through. And again, who does that kind of pastoral care for pastors? So now you're in a better place. You have had a couple of women come from the board and be super compassionate to you. And you have the planting pastor, the guy that helped start the church?
Well, he was the lead pastor at the church for a long time. He actually retired at this church.
So. And he's hanging around, but he's hanging around and it's good stuff. Yeah. He's trustworthy.
There's nothing in our world right now that I should be feeling this way. But right. I still can't really just enjoy my life at this point. And so... So our district had this grant given to them to support pastors for pastoral care. And at a couple of different district events, we talked a lot about the need for counseling, or, you know, the need for marriage enrichment, the need for those kinds of things. And they were like, you know, if you can't afford counseling, we will pay for it. Just if you need it, just get it done. Now, the district wasn't asking to know nothing. Mm. They're like, we will just flat out pay for it. No questions asked.
Wow.
And so it kind of made me go, I think this is something I need to do. Mm-hmm. So I really was careful about opening myself up to another counselor because my last one wasn't that great. But I did a lot of research and I said, you know, I'm looking for somebody who really understands pastoral ministry and fully supports women in ministry.
Yeah, that.
I'm not going to put myself in that position. Just not going to do it. And I found Linda Shook. So she is a counselor that I began with last September, and she got it. She was able to follow my crazy story and take all of the pieces and actually help me see clarity in that. Mm. And call me, I joke that she is able to call me out when I lie to myself.
Oh, you lie to yourself?
Not really lie to myself, more the lies that I believe about how I should be, what I should do, and how I should function in the world. More of that, like, I should be ashamed of this, or I should just, you know. And so she'd be like, but why? Why do you do that to yourself? You know, she was able to just call me out in a way that was gentle and loving and caring. And she just was able to do that in a way that didn't hurt. Because we were not friends. And I didn't have to be a spiritual leader to her.
Oh, that is a tremendous insight, you know, tremendous insight. that you were in a position where you didn't have to minister to her and you could be ministered to in a different Absolutely. Kind of way, and then have her lovingly call you out in a way that maybe some friends who don't want to lose the relationship might not, you know?
Yeah. It was, and I told my husband this a couple months ago. I said, for me, talking with the counselor was like carrying around baggage that I don't want to give to my friends and family because I love them. And I know that they have their own things that they're anxious and stressed and worried about. So if I give them that baggage, it just makes it heavier for them, right?
Right. I see your logic.
If I give that baggage over to my counselor, one, she's trained not to carry it. Two, she's trained to help me unpack it and work through it and throw out what's not useful and keep the good things, right? She is trained to help me do that. And to me, that was what was freeing. I didn't have to worry if it was going to hurt her feelings. I didn't have to worry, okay? And this is something that every pastor needs to listen to. I didn't have to worry about being judged for my theological perspective or framework.
That is a big
one. I didn't have to worry about that. She accepted me right where I was for who I was, because absolutely nothing I said or did or anything in that, I mean, I could rail at God. I'm not saying that I did any of those. But I didn't have to have that filter on. I didn't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. She didn't challenge me and go, oh, well, theologically or in the Bible, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah. I think every pastor, this is part of why I coach, and you need a different kind of companion for different legs of your journey and when you have different needs, but you need a place where you can be totally honest and it's not going to cost you. Exactly. Not, I'm not talking about the bill at the end of the service, but I'm talking about personally, professionally, spiritually, you can just be honest.
Yeah. She wasn't going to look down on me for it, for anything I said, did, or how I felt. She just expected me to be human.
Imagine that. So that's my crabby pastor comment. Sorry. Along the way, though, did she help you identify some depression?
Yes. It was probably like my second session.
Oh.
And she, you know, I'm sitting there going, you know, I just don't remember the last time I really felt happiness. I don't remember. All I like things, but I just don't feel the same enjoyment of them. Like I was just very indifferent and blah.
And it wasn't like you were laying in bed and sleeping all the time. And
not at all. Like I still had a full life. Like I still did all of the things that I needed to do. I still took care of my family and fed my kids and spent time with them. I just felt this piece missing of like, when was the last time I had fun? When was the last time I really just did something for enjoyment and for my own, I like to do it, and felt that joy, that happiness. And I knew that piece was missing. And she goes, you know, I think you might have some mild depression. And I told that to her. I said, but I'm not sleeping all day. I mean, I feel fine. Like, I don't know why would I have depression? Like things are fine. She's like, I think you need to talk to your provider because everything you're describing is mild depression. You should be able to think of the last time you laughed just full-heartedly without abandon laughed. You should be able to think of the last time your heart overflowed with joy and happiness. You should be able to do those things. Those are normal human emotions in every setting, in every person, everywhere. And if you're not able to do that, figure out a way. You know, it feels, you need to find somebody that can help you get there, because it's mm-hmm. not normal to not know that. It's not normal to not remember that. And I had all the reasons in the world to be joyful and be happy. I'm not a person who's ever needed big mansion or the fanciest car or the best clothes. Like, even if I could afford them, I joke that I would probably still shop at Walmart because they're cheap. And
yeah.
Anyway, so none of that was like, I knew that God would take care of me. It wasn't a situational thing. I just felt this lack of being able to enjoy my life. And I went to my doctor and I said, well, I've been on this one medication before and it really didn't help very much. So she goes, oh, let's try this. I love my provider. She is a nurse practitioner, advanced mm-hmm. registered nurse practitioner. And she just listens to me too. Like, that's a big deal.
That is.
And she's like, well, let's try this other medication and see. I saw a difference in how that, like, inability to feel joy or happiness within a week or two. And that was on half the dose. I did that for like a month. And she's like, well, I said, I do still have a few days where I just don't feel right. And so she was like, okay, well, let's just up the dose and see how I feel. And I started feeling so much better. And then in that process, I was able to see, okay, I'm miserable. Women, okay, as pastors, we deal with the whole side of pastoral ministry personally that men do not deal with, and that is menstruation.
Oh, gee.
And I was in pain. I was in deep, deep pain a lot, and miserable a lot from that. And so I was able to speak up for myself and tell my doctor what I wanted and what I needed and say, this has been happening for 10 years. I'm tired of it. I know I'm only 40, but I'm done. And so, yeah. And so I think a piece of that puzzle for me was also having a hysterectomy and not being in pain, not being in that pain just constantly every month. And so between those two things, I think has really just changed. And I finally feel like myself again. I feel like a whole person again, with full emotions, with the ability to pour it and help other people. And not only help others, but in that, like, as a pastor, I feel so many of them are able to tell me their stories and how they've struggled. And that has helped me as well. And so it's this beautiful thing. And our church just continues to be so life-giving and accepting and loving and caring. And I mean, I think they provided meals for 2 weeks for my family after I had surgery, which is just, nice. We're a little church. There's not that many people, but it was such a blessing. And yeah, if pastors don't know what it's really like to be loved by their congregation, feel really sad, because it's been very life-giving. But not only do they love us, but we love them in return. There's been a lot of this absolute, one of our board members, Dave, absolute, there's unequivocal support for me as a female pastor. Dave will flat out say, well, if you don't like having a female pastor at your church, then this isn't the church for you. And he's just...
That's amazing. That's amazing. Cause that is, you know, I love your story. I'm not saying I love that you were in a dark place, but you know, how you found yourself in a dark place, you got the help that you needed. You started out with a counselor And that fueled you moving forward with your doctor and some things started because you're in pursuit of how things can be better and feel better. But also what, you know, the menstruation part aside, I mean, female pastors deal with stuff, just pure rejection, just based out of who you are. And I'm like, I can't change this about myself. I'm sorry. And God called me and I responded to that call. And I could sit there and be that yappy piece of clay at God and say, I don't know why you didn't make me a dude, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is, you're talking to the creator, the one who decided that it was a good idea for you to be made as a female. So you're just following along, and along the way, there's just a lot of flack that you get for following that call. And that, so to now be in a spot where there's someone that says, hey, yeah, our pastor's female, and if this doesn't set well with you, this just might not be the place for you. So it's got to be such a blessing for you to be in this kind of spot now.
I don't have to fight that fight. I mean, not that I ever really fought a fight, but I don't have to defend myself.
Yeah.
I don't have to defend why, you know, I've had been with Nazarene pastors who my pastor fully supports me, but there's multiple people in the church that flat out refuse to sit in service when I'm preaching or.
Oh, yeah.
No, and there's a lot of those stories. Like, I'm not the only one. Every female pastor I know has them, but it's just not even a part of our church's makeup to. I've not had a single issue. I mean, I haven't since we've been here. And so to me, that has been really freeing. Now, that doesn't mean to say that there's not work to be done. That doesn't mean to say, but also from a district level, our district superintendent absolutely supports our church and has been so supportive of my husband and I since we've been here. And that has just been a huge part of both of our recovery.
Yeah.
It sounds terrible, but it is. That's really been a big part of it too. Like, we just have a really good DS.
So what would you say to any pastor? If you find yourself in a dark place, you should fill in the blank.
It's so scary to open up and be vulnerable. But you have to. You have to, for your own well-being. You have to find a place inside the church, outside the church, with someone who is going to listen and help you see through the weeds. And there are really wonderful churches out there. There are wonderful people out there. Doesn't mean you're not going to get hurt again. It doesn't mean that those things won't happen. It just means that you're on a healthy, stable footing and you're able to view them and see them in a clearer perspective than you can if you're already broken. And also, don't be afraid to talk to your doctor. Don't be afraid. And I guess, I shared this testimony just this morning with my church congregation. And don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah.
You cannot expect behavior or a certain level of spiritual rightness
mm-hmm.
that you would not expect of your own congregation member.
Mm.
I think we expect to put ourselves on a pedestal where, you know, we have to be the, you know, how do I say that? I'm not saying that there's not, we are held to a higher accountability with integrity and honesty and you know, definitely give yourself good moral moorings. Live into who you want to be as a Christian person, and that's Jesus, right? We want to be holy. Absolutely do that. But also realize that you're not always going to get it right. And that's okay. Absolutely. And if you are with a church that doesn't allow you to do that and be that, some serious conversations need to be had. I find, and I don't agree with theologically with everything Brené Brown says.
Right.
But her perspective of what it means to be human and how shame and guilt and fear and all of these things make up who we are so significant. And I suggest every pastor read her books. Everyone needs to read her books because they were very transformative for me as well, on top of going to my counselor and medication. It's like a big puzzle. And not one piece is going to give you the whole picture. You need all of those pieces. And sometimes they change. You know, don't be afraid to try again.
And you have to pursue, wholeness for yourself as a person so that you can pour into other people. It's giving God your best, which is what I think many, many pastors have a mindset to do. So I want to thank you so much, Valerie, for taking the time to share with us and being part of this podcast. And gosh, I almost hate to do this part, but I kind of feel like I have to because I got called out by somebody on this podcast who said, "Oh my goodness, I am on the Crabby Pastor podcast and you never asked me what makes me feel crabby." And so I said, I have to do this now for anybody that I have as a guest that you can tell us what makes you feel crabby and what do you do about that?
As a pastor of a little church, I feel a little crabby when people are like, "Oh, we need to do this. We need to do that. We need to start this." Without actually offering, "Hey, can I do this?"
Ah, that.
That makes me feel a little crabby. Like, what are you doing, friend?
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Well, thank you again for today and for our time together. I appreciate your vulnerability and your willingness to share. And it's because we care about other ministry leaders as well. So this is an act of caring for others. Hey, thanks for listening. It is my deep desire and passion to champion issues of sustainability in ministry and for your life. So I'm here to help. I stepped back from pastoral ministry and I feel called to help ministry leaders create and cultivate sustainability in their lives so that they can go the distance with God and whatever plans that God has for you. I would love to help. I would consider it an honor. And in all things, make sure you connect to these sustainability practices, you know, so that you don't become the crabby pastor.